Welcome to the first ever rally at One Spring Street. Yes. Why are we here? We got anything better to do? One Spring Street, it just happens to be the office of one Harriet Ching, Minister of Housing, who, I don't know if you've heard about this, has scheduled the demolition of 44 public housing towers, which will leave 10,000 people displaced. And then they go, well, surely you've got documents, you know, to prove this, why they have to be destroyed. She goes, yeah, I'm not showing you. He or she, where are the documents, Harry? No, they've fallen down the back of a cupboard, and we've tried to get in with the broom, but, you know, well, what can you do? They should at least release the documents. We should expect transparency from the government. So they need to, if they're going to displace so many people, damn it, and this is good on you here, because are we aware it's anti-poverty week this week? I don't want to get political, but is there a class war going on, you know, where the rich are trying to force the poor out of their homes? I don't want to get conspiratorial or anything, the fight back is good. But yeah, very interesting. But we have some speakers. This person, the first speaker, really not easy to organise. I said to her, it's Jeannie Ersig. I said, can you please speak? And she said, at the rally, she goes, what's in it for me? And I go, nothing. She goes, look, I don't get out of bed for less than a cappuccino and a toasty every day. So I've bought her a cappuccino and a toasty to speak. Jeannie Ersig, what can you say about her? Yeah, to misquote Shakespeare, though she be small, yet she be fierce. Yeah. Please welcome. That's a tech.
Hi, yeah, I'm Jeannie. I have been a public resident for the past 30 years. I was at Bank Street Paran for 24 years in a group of public housing units, 120. They demolished them to make way for, half of them were community units, half of them were private rentals. Any public housing? No. So then I was relocated to Barrett Beacon. I was there for 4 years. And the same thing has happened, that it's been demolished and now they are rebuilding. There will be 130 community units. There will be about 300 private units. And is there any public housing? No. So I believe that we should follow officers' idea, which is we should retain, repair, reinvest. So we should not demolish public housing. We should keep it, not demolish, repair, retain, reinvest.
I didn't think Jeannie would get so political. She was really raising the rebel in the crowd there. I thought she'd give a recipe for toasty sandwiches, but no, she's got me. Wow, I was really sitting on the fence politically, but I think I've just been radicalised by that speech. Yeah, that was good. Jeannie used to live in Barrack Beacon. Fun fact, this bit of canvas here is one of the old blinds from Barrack Beacon, from one of the houses they were trying to destroy. So we're using their destroyed property they've taken from us back as an attack. That's art. That's what art is. Breaking the law! Breaking the law! The law. Now, this next guy, you know him, you love him. Oh man, I'm very excited to welcome him to the stage. Oh, this bit of concrete. Give it up for the one there, only, Mr. Purple Pingers.
Thanks, Darth. Before I start, I just want to note that we're meeting on stolen land. And acknowledge elders past, present and emerging, and also, I guess, yeah, speaking of stealing land, today we're standing outside the office of a government that announced it'll demolish every single public housing tower in Melbourne, a decision that will uproot thousands of people and completely gut our public housing stock. The plan was announced without the evidence that we deserve, but we do know the reason why. And that's because there's not a single report that'll show that demolishing every single public housing tower in the midst of the worst housing crisis in living memory is a sound decision. The only justification for these demolitions is the desire for profit at the expense of public housing residents and the expense of all of us. for this government to have a slightly different number in their budget when they go to an election next year, and for this government to stay in the good books of the property developers and the lobbyists who caused the crisis in the first place. This morning I stood with many of you in the Magistrates Court to support a resident who risked everything to stop these cruel pre-demolition works. Pre-demolition works that are going ahead despite community opposition, despite thousands of pages of testimony and evidence that says there's a better way, and despite the fact that residents still live in these fucking buildings. Shouldn't be charged with vandalism or whatever they've made up. Should be charged with heroic desperation. People are defending these homes because the government simply will not defend theirs. So today we're saying loud and clear to this government and to the Housing Minister, stop the demolitions, release the ports that you've shrouded in secrecy, and stop facilitating the greed of property developers with a smile on your face. All of us here will stand with residents in the courts, in the streets, and at every single hearing until this plan is ripped up and our public homes are protected. What we need is homes, not handouts, to developers and their donors. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we have another speaker, with lived experience, with lived experience of the housing crisis and what you have to go to. Oh my God, she's so autistic, so excited to welcome this lady again. Go crazy, throw small children in the air as they welcome this lady. What is it, Grace Bell?
Hello, my name is Grace. I rent a so-called affordable apartment at Dunlop Avenue in Ascot Vale. For anyone aware, the Dunlop Avenue development is the flagship project of the big housing build with a mix of affordable and community housing. Homes Vic is our landlord with a separate managing agent consortium, and a community housing provider Evolve acts as the body corporate for the entire estate. I stand before you today as the ghost of Christmas future, as a window into a grim housing future we can still improve. Moving into a Homes Vic new build has turned into a nightmare we are trapped in instead of the safe, accessible modern homes that are being promised as replacements after demolition. These problems are not isolated to one site. Like the managed neglect present in the older buildings, this is a symptom of a rotting housing system that prioritises line items over the well-being of community. Some of the highlighted issues that have been ignored by Homes Victoria in my building include mould, damp and waterproofing issues. Repeated mould testing has flagged multiple allergenic mould species and identified 26 Dunlop Avenue as a water damaged building. We noticed signs of mould and water damage straight away when we collected the keys on the 1st of September 2023. We reported them and made formal complaints to the agent and Homes Victoria, but we've been dismissed and the agents and Homes Victoria maintain there is no mould at all. A toilet cistern swab taken in December 2023 showed extremely high mould growth with severe risk from mycotoxins. Reports recommended use of PPE and limiting time spent in the area. Yes, in my only bathroom. Ventilation in the bathroom is completely inadequate. The bathrooms have no windows, and with the doors closed and extraction fan on, humidity in the bathrooms reaches the high 90s during a shower. But you can't easily leave the bathroom door open. If you're standing in the shower, you can make eye contact with the neighbours on the balcony in the building next door. Stachybotrys, or toxic black mould, was flagged in two separate tests, in a lounge room air sample in January 2024, and on a swab taken inside our kitchen extraction fan in May 2024. All air testing showed elevated hyphal fragments, which are growth structures of mould, similar to roots. Readings above 10 signpost a risk of an active mould colony growth. We had readings as high as 113 in one of the bedrooms. In the internal fire stairwell closest to my apartment, with no external walls, water drips down the walls between two floors, with puddles of rust seeping out from the bottom of the stairs. In the ground floor garage, cracks in the walls and ceiling get wet and drip down into the foundation during the rain. In one area, stalactites have formed in the ceiling cracks that have eroded through metal ducts and damaged the paintwork of the car unlucky enough to be parked below the worst of it. The car owner was told to use a car cover when parking in the internal garage, and none of the supposed fixes have stopped the drips. Other neighbours have had different issues. In the first 12 months, at least three apartments in the estate have had significant water leaks from their ceilings. One neighbour had no working air conditioner or heater during her whole entire lease. She was told not to use it as the external unit was damaged during installation and the original electricians had folded mid-construction, so no one knew whose problem it was. In the opinion of a building inspector who visited at the end of 2024, the waterproofing of our bathroom is not up to code. In the opinion of a building inspector who visited end of 2024, the waterproofing of the bathroom is not up to code. It requires a total redo, likely not isolated to our apartment. The gutters are not equipped for a 1 in 100 year storm. The overall drainage around the building is inadequate and in some places, again, was defined as not up to code. There's moisture in the walls and the skirting board around the windows in the common hallway. Security is conspicuously absent in our building. The external doors, including the garage, were locked open for days or weeks as the fob system was unreliable. Multiple residents have been locked out when a fob has malfunctioned. Officially advised of system-wide software issues in October 2024, I quote, "Rather than have everyone stuck inside, the doors need to remain open to allow renters to enter and exit." Neighbours have reported ongoing malfunction with the doorbell systems, which create an accessibility challenge for residents with limited mobility who rely on the ability to let support people in. Access to the communal garden is either through the steeply sloped side entrance of Building 26, which needs a fob, or up a flight of stairs, so limited access for anyone with mobility issues. Affordable housing residents are segregated from community housing residents. We're not invited to participate in community programs such as the welcome barbecues or formal garden opening events run by Homes Victoria and Evolve. And there's no integration between buildings and different types of residents. There's small differences in even things like the amenities available to the different buildings. For example, in the affordable housing buildings, we get dishwashers. The community housing buildings, for reasons unknown, get no dishwashers. Applying to the affordable housing ballot was a hope for a secure home backed by the government without having to navigate the public housing list or the social housing services who wouldn't even answer our calls. Instead, it's ruined my life, destroyed my belongings, and pushed me further into a pattern of housing insecurity. This is not a future I would wish on anyone, which is why I support the plan for retrofitting the existing buildings to as new condition. We need homes that will stand for a lifetime and not just an election cycle.
Thank you! Frank, let's get to it like it is. Just hearing that, I'm sort of thinking maybe the whole system needs to change. I was thinking, no, the system's fine. It's getting by, but listen to that. No, it needs to change. Damn it, you know, houses, they should be for people's needs, not, you know, not corporate greed. We all know that. We all know the slogans. It's a human right. Good on you. And you spoke during the inquiry. Do we all watch the inquiry? I was like impressed by so many different speakers. Kevin Bell, the human rights lawyer, who was just saying, you know, it's an affront to people's dignity to sort of like, you know, turf them out of their house and not even explain why and release the reports. He was one of my favourite people who spoke. One of my least favourite people was this lady, Harriet Ching, boo, who just. In the bin. Harriet Ching. Good on you. If there's any other speakers, what I'd be keen to do, hang around. We have a housing meeting next Thursday happening at Capitol Theatre. Kate Shaw has just dropped off 2,000 flyers for me to pass out, and I'll probably hand them out get rid of them in the next 10 minutes or so at the way I'm going. Or Jim's going to step up. There is a little house which if people, I'm kind of keen to sort of hang around here. We'll conclude the speech. But kind of keen to hang around and work on a little tiny house if people are feeling they need to get uncrafty. But is there anyone else who would like to speak? It's Amelia!
Hey guys, well done for putting this on. I wasn't planning on speak, but hearing everyone else speak, I thought I might as well, and it's important. So. For those who don't know me, I am a rank and file member of the CFMEU, so I work in the construction industry. Construction workers want jobs that are safe and unionised and that benefit other working class people. We want to build hospitals, we want to build schools, and we want to build public housing. Governments like our Labor government and the Liberal government before them constantly try and blame workers like us for the housing crisis when we know that the housing crisis is a symptom of their policies. And then They get workers to carry out their dirty work for them. They don't like to get their hands dirty, do they? Often it's perceived that construction workers are really well paid and homeowners and are not affected by the housing crisis, but that's definitely not the case. Me, myself, I'm a single mum and I have to rely on the private rental market. And having gone through private rental after private rental, there is never any security in it. The conditions are abhorrent and you're beholden to the will of a real estate agent who doesn't even follow their own legislation that they're meant to follow. I've lived in houses without heating, without working ovens, with mold, with collapsing ceilings, and there's never anything done about it. But anyway, thank you all for coming out